Hi, it's Wendy. Welcome to the 21st episode of the Show Up or Shut Up podcast with Wendy Solganic. For all of you guys who've been listening and letting me know that you love the podcast and you listen to it on your daily walks and while you make art and do laundry and cook dinner, it's a dream come true to connect in this way about the things that we love and the things that are difficult about being prolific and creative people. And I am really excited to share this episode with you. I interviewed Marie Kirby, who is a friend of mine from Instagram, also a very prolific mixed media artist. And I'm really excited to present this podcast episode to you because I think that it may inspire some well-needed discussion amongst ourselves and each other about what is really going on behind the scenes when it comes to being a prolific maker and a part of this Instagram community or Facebook community that we're all a part of. So if you have some kind of reaction to what we're talking about or some thoughts or feelings, I encourage you to come to my Instagram page, willa.wanders, and find the post where I highlight this episode and come leave your feedback, get involved in the discussion about it, because my hope is that by talking about these things out loud, that we can make our experience with this phenomenon that we're all a part of just a little bit better and kinder for ourselves as humans. So with that, I present to you the 21st episode of Show Up or Shut Up. Welcome to Show Up or Shut Up with Wendy Solganic, also known as willa.wanders on Instagram. This podcast features real and raw conversation about the lives of prolific makers. What is really happening behind all of those gorgeous photos of art on Instagram? How we came to be prolific makers? What makes us consistently show up? And the very real challenges that we all face. This episode of Show Up or Shut Up is brought to you by the Willa Workshops found at willawanders.com. Take a class in how to make your own Willa journals, have fun with a secret tag book, or enroll in our new 12-month mixed media art making experience called Fodder School. These and many more outstanding online courses are available right now on my website. Hello, Marie.
Hello, Wendy.
How are you?
I'm good. A little nervous, but excited to talk to you.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I am nervous before every single one of these interviews that I conduct.
Okay. I know it's normal. It's normal to be nervous, right?
I think so. I mean, I'm nervous every time. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you, and you may not even know why, but
no.
Let's see. So welcome to Show Up or Shut Up, Marie. And just so that everyone can place who you are, on Instagram, your name is, tell me your name.
Yeah, Marie.creative.
And how do you spell creative?
C-R-E-A-T-I-F. And it's French for creative, but it's actually the masculine form, but I thought it was pretty, so I kept it. Maricita, you know Maricita?
Yes.
Yeah, she told me, Marie, that's the masculine form. And I decided I was going to keep it anyway because I thought it was prettier than saying Marie Creative.
But before you were Marie Creative, another name on Instagram, correct?
Yes, it was Marie de Paris, France. And so, that was, and I finally decided I need to get rid of that because it's a lie. I am not from France. I am not from Paris, France. And I would get a lot of French people that would, you know, message me and speak to me in French. And I'd be like, oh, I'm not French. I'm really not French. I'm really not from Paris.
That is so fascinating. So what attracted you to that name, Marie de Paris, France? Like, what attracted you to that to begin with?
Well, I'm a Francophile for sure. For sure. I love France. I was fortunate enough to live there for 7 months and a long time ago. You probably weren't even born. I don't know. It was 1985. I lived there for 7 months with my husband. And then I went back a couple of years. So I just have a real affinity for it. I studied French in high school and yeah.
Well, it seems like your soul is French. So it's like, even though physically, you know, it's like, okay, maybe someone could say you're not of that place. You feel like you're of that place.
Yeah, I do. You know, even my, you know, DNA testing in 23andMe, I was, please let there be some DNA from France.
And was there?
And I'm very Northern European, which is likely, there is even a little area in France that seem to have some ancestry from. I feel like I am, you know, and I've told my boyfriend, when I die, please put my ashes so that maybe I'll come back.
So. I think you qualify.
Thank you.
So you are very prolific mixed artist. So if people don't know you that well, I'm just going to throw it out there right now. The reason why I invited you on the podcast is because you are prolific. And this is a podcast about the ups and downs and realities of basically the people and the personalities that make things prolifically, and what, you know, what happens when you're one of those people. And I would love to hear your background with art and what kind of led to you becoming the mixed media artist that you are right now.
Okay. I feel like I may be one of your only guests that really haven't had much art background. My mom put me in dance when I was 5 years old, and I was in dance and did dancing up until 2003. I started off in ballet, tap, and jazz, and then as I got into adulthood, I still did do, actually, when I was in France, I took some ballet and jazz classes. So it was, but probably after grad school, I kind of moved more into social dancing, which is partner dancing, you know, that sort of thing. But if I, you know, so I was thinking, what? I know you ask this question of people. So, and it seems like everybody did scrapbooking. I'm like, I never did scrapbooking, but in reality, I had a scrapbook at 13 and I had a scrapbook after I spent two months in France. So I did a scrapbook for that. But other than that, I've had, you know, and they really were not very decorative. They were mostly just pictures. So it was more like a picture book with some notes. So, and I took an art class the first semester of eighth grade. And my teacher said I was really good and thought I should pursue it. And my dad was all into me doing that, but I went into choir. next semester. And then
I
that
hate
will
how in school they make you pick one art course. Like, you can either be in band or choir or art or drama. You can't be in all of those things. And
right.
It's so painful. I guess you'd have to go to a performing arts high school or a high school of the arts to really
right.
be able to explore everything. But in a regular public school, you have to get pigeonholed into
yes.
what is that one thing that you do. At least that's how it works in the United States. And it's
yeah.
kind of sad because...
Right. You're only allowed to be, you know, interested in one art.
Right. One art. That's all you get. And then you're like, that's it. You can never, once you're in, you can never go out and then do something else. Because once you fall off the track of, let's say, being in band and playing that instrument or being in the fine arts and having that development, it's very, very hard to go and switch.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's so interesting. So I also chose chorus.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Which I do love to sing, but okay. All right. So when did you, I guess, first discover then some form of visual art?
Yeah. Well, I knew of it in a sense through one of my dear, dear best friends who's I call an artist. Her work is beautiful, and I would remember going, you know, we'd go out to she always carried a little journal with her, and she was always drawing. And I was so fascinated, and I would watch her, and I'd be like, oh my God, I can never do that. I can never do that. Oh my God, you know. But then so I think she tried to encourage me, you know, one year she bought me some coloring books and some Tombow, you know, markers to try to get me to do something. And I did a little and I put it away. And then it was in 2018, January of 2018, that I got that really horrible flu. It was a really bad flu year. My boyfriend got it and he gave it to me and he ended up in the hospital, nearly died from it. and I was sitting there and I couldn't watch TV. I don't know. It was just, I felt too awful to watch TV, but I needed to do something. And I started scrolling through not Instagram. I started scrolling through Pinterest and looking at what people were doing on Pinterest. And then I think I ordered a journal or something from Amazon and just and washi tape, and I had some markers, and you know, I just started, and I guess I bought some paints, and I started playing in a journal. And it's so fascinating. I was just thinking about that journal, that my very first journal. I never posted any, I don't think I ever posted anything from it, but it was, what's funny is it was collage. It was a lot of collage, which is what I do now. But then I moved into planning. I moved into doing daily planning.
With all like the official planning, like where you buy the products at Michael's and that type of planning. Is that what you mean? Where it's like.
Yeah, I mean, well, I actually, my first one, I did my own. I bought one of those loop term journals, you know.
Oh, are you talking about bullet journaling?
Yeah, bullet journal.
Oh, there's a separate thing called planning, which
oh,
involves
okay.
a lot of like stickers.
Okay, well, I like stickers. I love stickers.
Okay, but are you talking about where you would draw out each week?
I mean, I basically did a daily page. I didn't do a weekly thing. I started off, I think I was going to do a week, but I ended up just doing a daily page. And then for 2019, I found the Hobonichi. I don't know if you've heard of that with the Tomo River paper.
Yep, I have.
Yeah. And so then I did that for all of 2019, and I started it in 2020, and it got into feeling like, who am I doing this for?
Oh, that is such a good question we need to explore. But before we explore that question, I want to ask you something, because I think that there might be people on here that are like me. So I am familiar with the term Hibonacci or Habonichi or whatever that term is.
Yes.
And I'm familiar with the idea of a traveler's notebook. Explain what you were doing and why it required like a very specific paper or journal, or can you explain what that is?
Well, I was just decorating it with washi tape and stickers and maybe some paint, and just make, I was at the time, I mean, I was tracking what I ate daily. I was tracking my mood. I was doing a daily gratitude, and then I would just make some notes about my day.
Gotcha. So it was like a visual diary where you would record the things that you were looking to record, but also add in some fun images, essentially. Yes. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Just trying to make it pretty.
And then you mentioned you got to the point where you were like, who am I doing this for? Or why am I doing this? So tell me what happened then.
I guess I had lost the motivation to want to do it daily. And then I felt like I was doing it because I was posting it daily. And then I would stop posting. You know, this is when I finally discovered Instagram. And then I was like, who am I doing this for? And would anybody really care if I stopped? You know, I just was feeling like I had to do it every day and I had to post every day.
This is fascinating. Okay. So one thing that we did not mention, which I meant to talk about right from the start, is that you are actually a trained, degreed, certified psychotherapist.
I am.
And you practice psychotherapy.
I do. I was licensed in 1999 or 8. God, 99. I was licensed in 1999. And I worked in county mental health for many years. And then I have been in private practice for, this is my 16th year in private practice. So,
and because of that, that's actually, I mean, there's many reasons I wanted to have you on the podcast. One of them is just, one of the reasons is because you and I have developed a very special and unique connection, which I know it seems like maybe I have that connection with 6,000 other people, but I really
yes,
don't.
<it does. laughs>
I really don't. I have it with a handful of people.
Yes.
And you're one of them, but and one of the other reasons is that you are a therapist, and I thought that this would be a really great topic considering just some of the stuff that I'm going through that I imagine other people go through.
Yeah, right.
Relating to being a prolific maker, which is you do something, you commit to something.
Yes.
And it's very fun and new. And you have all of that excitement of the new and the new products and even the personal development of it all. It's like, I'm going to learn something new and master a new craft.
Yes.
And then when you've mastered it, or for some other reason, maybe life gets in the way or something, then all of a sudden that enthusiasm that you once had for the thing may wane. And you may find yourself saying to yourself, why am I doing this?
Yes.
So tell me about how you moved on from doing that type of journaling and moved on to something else. What was that like for you?
Well, I mean, the one thing about doing that daily thing, I knew what I was gonna do. You know, when you let that go, there's a void. Then now what? You know, which can be exciting, but it can be scary. you know.
Were you feeling bad in any way? Like, I've been doing this for so long and I bought all these things. I know a lot of people struggle with the feeling of like, I bought all this stuff and now I don't want to use it anymore. Did you ever think like, I have all this washi tape and stickers and I just don't want to do this anymore? Did you ever feel that?
Well, I think I always feel guilty with all the supplies that I buy. It's really bad. So there's always an element of guilt, but I'm using my washi tape, maybe not nearly as much as I was, and I'm using my stickers, not nearly as much as I was, like on a daily basis kind of a thing. But I love stickers and I love washi tape. So, I mean, I think the only bad thing was I bought a Hobonichi, and those are not cheap. It's like an $80 journal, and I only did the first maybe 4 months of 2020 and then said, I can't do this anymore. So, but other than that was like a big waste, I guess. But,
But at the time when you were like, I just can't do this anymore, you didn't know you were going to use your washi tape, right? You didn't know you were going to use those stickers. Did you? Or maybe you did. Maybe
I was
you
going to do. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I recall, I discovered Alyssa Burke. Yeah. And so I started signing up for her class. I think the first one I signed up for was the Nature Journal. And I thought, oh, cool, I'm into nature. And so that was sort of like what happened, I think, is I discovered her and the Nature Journal. And that sort of led me, you know. And I think somewhere, I don't know exactly when, but that's when I discovered you sometime last year.
Gosh, I feel like, could it really have been only a year? I feel like it's been so much longer.
I know. I don't know how to figure that out, but I know definitely for sure by last year, you know, early last year, I'm going to say probably I discovered you and, you know, started chatting you up.
So you are such a prolific maker. Did it turn into like, oh, you took this one class from Alyssa Burke and then all of a sudden it opened up a portal for you of there's all of these classes out there that I could take and I'm going to sign up for this and I'm going to sign up for this. Like, cause you seem to be one of the people and I'm this way too, although I've had to back off, but you seem like you're engaged in a lot of different either online courses or online membership programs at the same time. Is that true?
Oh, it is true. And I think it's a order. We focus on one or things at a time. We can't. And so I actually think some of this is part of an issue that comes up with social media and the dopamine hits that we get from scrolling. And from what's new and what's next and what can, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I see it as, a bigger picture. You know, I knew you said you wanted to talk about this issue around sort of pressure and pressure to do, pressure to create. And yes, I am. I guess I am, I get that comment often that I'm prolific. And I am. And, most of the time it's because I want to, but, take the 100-day project. Oh my God. I was determined I was going to finish it, even if I wasn't even enjoying it anymore. I was going to finish it. It's crazy. But
so I definitely understand that feeling of wanting to sign up for a lot of things. I've definitely been there myself. And yes. I've also been in the place where I wanted to create every single day. And I wanted to learn and absorb and try. And that excitement of the new kept me going for years, posting many times a day on Instagram, just wildly excited to wake up in the morning and think, what am I going to, you know, what class am I going to work on today? What am I going to create today? And
I feel like
I could be wrong, but I feel like I've sensed at times with you and reading your captions to your posts that maybe sometimes you have gotten to a place with it where there's some type of struggle going on. And am I correct in that it's either there's too many things going on, or you feel some kind of pressure to make every day, post every day? Can you speak to how that happens for you?
Wendy, yes. Are you kidding? I mean, just thinking about this podcast, I wrote down here, you've got to hear this. These are the things that I feel pressure on Instagram about. I feel pressure to join the communities. I feel pressure to buy everybody's supplies, products, classes. I feel pressure to post. I feel pressure to be enthusiastic. I feel pressure to be supportive of everybody. I feel pressure to have a lot of followers. And I feel pressure to compete. I don't even know what I'm competing for. I guess followers. I mean, I'm not even trying to sell anything. I'm not even a teacher. I don't have product. There's a lot of pressure.
Wow. So you just nailed it. You wrote a list and you nailed it. Can you read those again, kind of slowly, the list of pressures?
I feel a pressure to join the communities. And more and more all the time, it seems like.
Yes.
I feel pressure to buy people's supplies and product classes. I feel pressure to post, you know, and that's because there's this fear that if I stop posting, people will forget me.
I think that's very real. I think you're hitting on some of the most profound observations. Okay, keep going.
Okay. I feel some pressure to be enthusiastic. Now, I think I am naturally enthusiastic. But sometimes I don't always feel enthusiastic, but I feel like I have to be enthusiastic.
I feel the same way. I feel like if I go on Instagram to post a photograph and I am feeling less than enthusiastic, I have to fake my enthusiasm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really want to get around, get through.
Let's get to the bottom of all this today. Okay. So,
pressure to be supportive or to comment on people's posts. Especially if they comment to me, there is something for me that if somebody comments on my post, I have to at least say thank you. There's pressure to have a lot of followers. And I don't feel like I have quite a few, but I don't have that many. I am not in the foul, you know, I mean, and then there is some element of pressure to compete with having as many likes or as many followers as everybody else, or, you know, what I consider sort of the people that I, you know, it's weird that I feel a sense of competition with people that I'm not even in the same, I don't want to say not the same league in terms of I'm not any good, just the same league of, I'm not trying to be a teacher. I don't have any product to sell. I'm not trying to promote myself. So why do I need to be trying to compete with you guys, you know?
Do you think that at the heart of it all is our human desire to feel loved and our human need for connection?
Yes.
And that, like, you know, look, we could have joined a church group.
Yes.
And gone to church every Sunday and showed up on Tuesday and Thursday and cooked meals for, you know, other people or done. I don't know. I'm not a member of that kind of church. I'm not even Christian. But I know that people get very involved in their church life. And as religion is waning in popularity for a variety of reasons, I think that there's a lot of people, myself included, and I do have a very strong religious community, but it's not truly where my heart is. So I find that I use the Instagram community and the art experience as a way of feeling connected and with other humans and loved.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it takes me, this whole conversation took me to, you know, a lot of Brené Brown's work, thinking about, I think that this pressure in our community is just a microcosm of a bigger pressure to fit in, to belong,
to fit
to
in,
feel loved. Yeah. And, you know, because I want to be in the club. I want to be one of the ones. I want people to know about me, you know, because I want people to like me.
Because we want to matter. I mean, I think most people feel like they want to matter, at least to some group of other people.
Right.
It's like, it's instinctual. I think, I think everything always, when you break it down and you analyze it, which is what I do with just about everything that I think about, is it all goes back to human evolution and what it took for our ancestors millions of years ago to survive. And you had to be part of a tribe in order to survive. There was no way a human being was going to survive on their own.
Right.
And the last thing that people wanted was to be left on the side of the road if they got hurt. So you had to be valuable to your tribe so that when the going got tough, there would be people who cared about you enough to fight for you and to carry you when you needed to be carried. And I think that no one understands that this is why we're behaving the way that we're behaving, but we're all basically locked into this evolutionary psychology of survival. We're all doing what we are programmed to do. There is no, I am not saying that the way you're thinking is in any way not normal. Like, it's not like, oh, I am on Instagram and I like to see how many likes I got and therefore I'm defective. I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying this is what we are wired to be like. And of course, these social media platforms figured that out a long time ago and made it so that we would become addicted to it, because this is what we think, you know, this is subconsciously what we think we need for survival.
So
basically, what I see happening that I am just identifying, that's all I'm doing, I'm just identifying a phenomenon, is that we are feeling this pressure to create every single day and to take a pretty picture and to post a happy caption 365 days of the year.
Yes, that is basically it. Yes. And then also those of you who are then try to sell it, you know, sell yourselves.
Then it becomes, that's where I posted the other day. And I was like, don't let your art become your rat race. Because all of a sudden I was like, wow, how quickly did something that I was loving become my rat race?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's so interesting, Wendy, how it went from enthusiasm and fun, and it's so easy to make and post every day, to like within, you know, it's starting to feel like this is this is like a never ending hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I can never get off.
Yeah. Well, you're very entrenched, you know, you're very entrenched because of your, you know, your involvement in your classes and all that you're doing. So, I mean, you know, that's what I keep coming back to myself and saying, I don't want that for myself, at least not right now. You know, I mean, I already have a full-time job, you know, so I don't want that for myself. And I also know that for a while I was teaching dance for a while, and I lost my enjoyment in a sense of it because it became a job.
So what I'm identifying for myself, and I only speak for myself, is that, well, yeah, I noticed that I'm not showing up every day enthusiastic. I mean, this is called show up or shut up. But I'm not able to, whether it's the pressures and demands of my life outside of art are very high right now with all my kids being home for the summer and my mom is very needy. Or it's that I'm working very hard now on the business end of it. But what is totally suffering is that beautiful time that I would spend exploring and just, you know, putting a glue stick on a piece of fodder and putting it in a journal. Like, that time has gone totally out of my life. And
I
want to be very careful to protect the thing that is so fundamental to who I am and what I do, which is the love of the basics.
Yeah.
The showing up and not feeling like I have to post a pretty picture every day. I have to post a happy caption every day. But one of the things that I most wanted to talk to you about.
Yes.
Is something that is in the ether within our community, and I've seen it expressed by many people at many times.
Okay.
And it reminds me of something that in my heart I feel is not the greatest, I don't know the right way to say this, but it's like it's not necessarily a healthy direction. And I'm gonna say what it is.
Okay.
I'm going to say it with love. And for anyone out here who can identify with it, maybe you'll have, you know, maybe those people will have different opinions than I have. And I'm not here to pass judgment on it if you've ever said this thing or felt this thing, but I'm here to open up a discussion about it so that if this is where you're going, that maybe you'll just hear what I have to say and think about it. That's it. That's my reason for bringing it up here in this rather public kind of forum. So this is what I'm going to explain.
Okay.
So I have heard many people either in podcasts or writing in their descriptions on Instagram, the sentiment that if they don't have creative time every single day, that they feel that something is off with their mood. So it's like somebody might say, if I don't have creative time, my family really knows it because I'm in a really bad mood, or I'm really grouchy, or I'm just not myself. And the reason why my ears perked up when I started hearing this is because this is extremely reminiscent of the same things that I heard when I was very enmeshed in exercise obsession and diet culture. So people would say things like, if I don't run every single day, I'm in a bad mood. If I eat sugar, I'm in a terrible mood. So it was like the level of perfection to be a certain way, whether it's to do practice yoga every day or make art every day. And then what happens is people start to say that, and then other people hear them say it, and then they start to think, oh, maybe I'm that way. Maybe if I don't make art every day, my mood is going to be off. And I actually do not, again, this is my opinion only.
Right.
I don't think it's realistic to think that any human being is going to make art every day or practice yoga every day or run every day or never eat XYZ food every day. And I think what makes me feel sad is starting to feel like the dysfunction and disorder of diet and exercise culture is kind of creeping into this art culture, because once you start hearing these messages from people you respect or people you like on Instagram, all of a sudden
there's pressure, and
you start to think like, oh, you know, I was tired or I was in a bad mood on Wednesday. Maybe it's because I had no creative time. But the reality is like, we all are living lives. Most of us, you know, are in committed relationships. Lots of us, maybe most of us, have children, parents that we may have to take care of, trips we have to take, jobs we have to do, income we have to earn, kids to put through college. Like, all of this, you know, quote unquote, real life stuff. And then all of a sudden we're like, we got this idea in our head that if I don't have creative time every single day, that I'm not going to be at my best. And I'm thinking, well, who gets creative time every single day?
Yeah.
And lives the rest of their life to its fullest. And to add again, it's kind of like the thing about doing, and you know, it's like, I have to create, I have to do, I have to take these classes. All of a sudden, that thing that was your release valve, it was a relief, all of a sudden becomes, for you or for a person, not you, you've never expressed this, but all of a sudden for a person could become, now it's just another thing on your to-do list.
It's like a prison. Yeah.
It's like a prison. It's like, oh my gosh, if I didn't get my X, you know, number of minutes in today, then I have somehow failed. Or if I didn't do my installment of the 100-day project, then I'm falling behind. And it's like the last thing what we need to do with this art community and the art that we make is turn it into this thing that we have to do. So I know I just said a lot, but I'm wondering what you think about that.
I think that this is about self-worth and about the pressure to be productive. It's everywhere. And this is, again, the Brené Brown stuff, that for us, productivity equals self-worth. And if we're not productive, we feel bad about ourselves.
Yes.
And so, you know, I read this article yesterday, I was talking about Instagram and stuff, but what it was saying was that we as people don't tolerate boredom or rest or being still. They did a study and they put people in a room for 15 minutes with nothing but a buzzer, and they could do nothing or they could hit the buzzer. But if they hit the buzzer, they were going to get an electric shock. And 50% of the people hit the buzzer repeatedly.
So we're all, not all of us, but the ones of us who are very prolific are the ones who would be hitting that buzzer.
It's like so we need some kind of stimulation, right?
We need some kind of stimulation.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So it is this self-worth issue of never being enough, never doing enough to prove our worth and our deserving of love and belonging.
Wow. We have gotten ourselves into a place where, without anyone being conscious of it, without anyone having any type of intent,
right,
the experience of this for many people is becoming that never-ending kind of rat race of,
yes,
I need to make so I can post so I can feel love.
Yeah.
And it's, all I'm here to do is identify it.
Yeah.
So that if people are listening and people are feeling this way, that we can just talk about it. Like, the best thing that we can do is expose this to the sunlight.
Yes.
Because my husband loves to say that sunlight is the greatest disinfectant.
Yes.
And all we have to do is identify it and say, this is there, this is present, I'm feeling it. And mm-hmm. And I'm going to try really, really, really hard to preserve my love for this and
right.
to do whatever I have to do to not ever have my art become something that I feel bad about. Although maybe that's even asking too much, because now I'm saying, like, I have to prevent myself from ever feeling bad.
I think it's just to be able to say to ourselves, I'm enough and I'm doing enough. And it's okay if I want to rest today, or it's okay if I don't want to do art today or for the whole week or for the whole month. And you know what? I don't know about you, but if you disappeared for a month, I would still remember you when you came back. You know?
That's really interesting. There's someone who I know who takes at least 1 month off of social media per year. And she tells everybody in advance. And
yeah.
She just says, I'm signing off and I will be back in a month. And I know that when she's gone, I miss her.
Yeah.
But it's right. Like, and then she comes back.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't necessarily want to have to take a month off. I want
right.
to really be able to have a balance in my daily life where it doesn't get so out of whack that I feel like I need to totally disappear for a month.
Yeah.
I just did something that I haven't done in a really long time. I've definitely talked about it on my Instagram. I basically binge watched two really long series. One on Netflix and one on Amazon Prime. So one is called Vikings and the other one is called The Last Kingdom.
Yeah.
And the entire time I was doing it, I was like thinking, this is so indulgent. I'm not making nearly the amount of art that I normally make. I'm not posting on Instagram nearly the amount of time. This
yeah.
is totally like rest for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I have not been as excited by anything that in a long time that I have been by these two series, because they're both historical fiction. And
yeah.
I really learned a lot. And I
yeah.
learned a lot about human civilization and religion and how the two developed, and you know how religion influenced civilization, and just they were just really incredibly fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to think, like, I'm giving myself this gift of all of the hours that it you know, that I spent watching those two series and not having it turn into like a big personal guilt trip that I put on myself.
Right.
Oh my gosh, you've allowed yourself to be so lazy and indulgent and watch these things, even though I'm so happy. Like, they make me so happy just explore it. Right. But it's awesome, but it's not on Instagram. You know, it's not like I can show you the product of this, you know, endeavor I've taken on. I can't, you know, whatever, but I know that I'm changed on the inside and I'm happier because now I have this knowledge and information I didn't previously have. But I was the whole time thinking, this is like, you know, this is interesting, Wendy. You're really, you know, not creating as much, like, or maybe you're not really creating much of anything at all.
Right. Yeah. You're not showing up, Wendy.
I'm not showing up for that, but I was showing up for myself.
Yes. I love it.
That's what show up or shut up is about. It's not like you have to show up and make art. You just have to show up and do the things that give you joy. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I, starting the end of July and then actually through now, I've been dealing with migraines, though it's getting better. But so, you know, I mean, 90% of the reason why people get migraines is stress, you know, and I really realized the stress is me, the pressure I put on myself, you know, whether it's Instagram or whatever it is, and usually it's something to do with art, but not necessarily. And so I really have been tuning in to that feeling of pressure. I've really been trying to be more and more aware of pressure, of guilt, and working at letting it go.
I do think I noticed that there was some post or multiple posts of yours on Instagram where you had mentioned that you were signed up for, you know, this membership course and you had, you know, you had committed with yourself to do this, you know, maybe it was the 100-day project. And I remember you mentioning how difficult it was to keep up with all of it, which no one would be able to keep up with all the things that you had, you know, self-committed to doing. So is that what you're talking about when you're talking about how you had put a lot of pressure on yourself to do?
I mean, I think I do, you know, I mean, I'm signed up on Get Messy and Wanderlust and I've signed up for God knows how many classes that I haven't even taken. I never even finished your, you know, Will of Journals class. I mean, I did do a journal, but I didn't finish the whole class. I'm sure it's all wrong, but see, I think, okay, well, I'm retiring in a year and 4 months. So I have all these classes already. I'm going to be on a fixed income pretty much then. So I won't have the money to buy things. So I'll take advantage of all the stuff I've bought. Let's hope I do.
But at the same time, it sounded like you were also putting a lot of pressure on yourself to do those things now.
Yes, I am.
Let's say keep up with Wanderlust or keep up with the 100-day project.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think the 100-day project was totally just nobody out there was telling me you should post every day. That was me.
Well, it's like a mind twisting thing, the 100-day project, because I do think that there is that kind of idea that you should do this every day for 100 days, even though so many people have done it that everyone just says, like, do not put pressure on yourself to do this every day for 100 days. But then there's the people like you and me, the type A people that feel bad if they don't do it every day. So it's like, even though you don't have to do it every day, you feel bad if you're not doing it every day.
Right. Exactly.
I think there are a lot of personality types that will, first of all, I don't even know if they would listen to my podcast, because I don't even know if my podcast would be interesting to people who don't share the type A personality.
Yes. Right.
I think that the phenomenon that we are describing, the incredible need to be valued and loved, and the incredible need to do everything well and be perfect and keep up and all of that, you think it is a type?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. So
have you found any peace with it lately? Have you made any changes with how you're approaching your own productivity and art and creativity and time?
I believe that I am. I do believe that, you know, I mean, I am fortunate. I don't work Friday through Sunday. I have 3 days off every week. I don't have a live-in partner. I don't have children. So I have a lot of time, really, compared to most people. Like there's a movie that I do want to watch, and I haven't watched it yet, but I want to start expanding out beyond art, which I feel like in a way I did this summer. I grew a vegetable garden, and I haven't done that in years, and it was a prolific vegetable garden.
A lot of tomatoes.
Oh, so many tomatoes and zucchini, and then it was cucumbers. Oh, God. So it kept me busy some, just trying to figure out who to give them to and what to do with, you know, all the excess. So that kind of helped me step away from art, you know. But I'm just really trying to ask myself, do I want to go in there and do art today? Or do I want to just kick back and do nothing, you know, or watch a movie?
Question. And when you ask yourself that question, if you choose to go watch a movie, would you have that little sense of like, oh, but then I won't have something new to post on Instagram if I don't go in there and make art? Is it kind of like a pressure to choose going in?
I think it has been. I don't think right now. I feel like, though, I will say that if I don't post for like 3 or 4 days, then the pressure really kicks in.
I would feel that too.
Yeah.
So again, I don't think that we're going to have like the answer necessarily, as much as we're going to identify these phenomenon.
Yeah.
One of the ways that I have found to be very helpful as someone who is a serial signer upper for memberships and classes and things,
mm-hmm,
is at first I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I'm spending all of this money,
yes,
signing up for these things. And then over time, I had more of a peace with it, where I came to the conclusion that if I signed up for something and I got like one really great thing out of it, that it was worth it, that I didn't have to do, you know, every lesson every month,
mm-hmm,
every day, whatever it was, whatever the cycle is of that membership program, or even art classes that I never completed, I just trust that, you know, again, within a budget. I'm not saying, you know, go spend all of your life savings on art classes. I'm saying, right, that whatever your budget is,
yes,
that you want to determine, like, this is the money that I can spend on online art classes. Then after I spend that money, I don't put the pressure on it to do it all. It really helped me a lot. I will, you know, when I get an email from the organizer of the, you know, membership program or whatever it is, I will open it and look at what that project is. And if something stirs in me of like, oh, wow, that is so cool, I really want to do that lesson, then I will go do that lesson.
Yes, that's but good.
If I sign up for something for a year and I do two or three lessons, that's okay with me. Because again, most of these things, when you really break them down, are wildly economical. Like it's basically like the best deal out there. You know, things like Wanderlust or Five School or Get Messy, all of these things are, you know, if you end up getting two great lessons per year out of any one of those things, you've gotten your money out of it. You know, just because you signed up for something that's a year long thing, it does do not ever feel bad if you don't do every month stuff or every week stuff. Like, who needs that in their life? Go sign up for it if you think you're interested in the subject. Have fun, but let go of that pressure to be perfect, perform, do it all, you know, post it all, do it all perfectly. That's the kind of dark side.
Of
what's
that's
going
the
on.
Side that makes this exhausting. So I want to maintain my excitement, enthusiasm, and joy, you know, of doing this art. So I think it's an ongoing thing. I think it's, for me, it's an ongoing thing because, you know, I did sign up for Wanderlust and I've probably done, you know, 20 lessons or something, which is not bad. It's probably almost half. So
that's phenomenal. So have you gotten a lot out of those 20 lessons?
Some I have. Yeah. Some, you know, they're not my style, you know, but I did them just to stretch, you know. But
I mean, you've gotten more than your money's worth. Wanderlust is an unbelievable bargain. Like, there are so many lessons and so much free content. And I'm going to be a Wanderlust teacher in 2022.
Ah, okay.
And Wanderlust was a place where I really like learned a lot when I was new to mixed media. I mean, I learned a ton.
Yeah.
To keep up with, you know, 50 weeks, I think it's 50 weeks of content and all of the bonus lessons would be a lot of pressure. If Wanderlust was the only thing you had signed up for, that would be a lot in someone's life. And I think that, you know, again, just people with this type A personality, you know, before long, you're signed up for like five things.
I think I can do it all too when I first sign up. I'm convinced, you know? I'll do Wanderlust on Friday and I'll do Get Messy on Saturday and then I'll do this on Sunday and
right, and then like what if you're invited to a barbecue? Like, oh my god, I got my lesson done.
You're interfering in my self-demands.
Exactly. It's like the art is supposed to I'm making this up. Let me just put this out there. It's like we want the art so that we can be happy people and we can live our life to the fullest. We don't want the art to turn into the thing that makes us like become hermits and not want to go out because we have a checklist of art we have to make.
Yes.
Which I could easily become that person. With like
I think I was that person last year. Well, of course, it was COVID too. But
right. It worked out during COVID, but it will not always be COVID. And
right.
And because of our need to be loved, I think people could get caught up into a cycle of feeling like, I have to post on Instagram. I can't go out. I could see that.
Okay, but here's the other thing is, do these people really love us?
I often think about the relationships that I have formed.
Yes.
And whether or not an online relationship could be considered a quote unquote real relationship.
Right. 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 I know. It's right. Like I'm working my ass off for people to love me and then didn't even care.
Right. The reality is unless those people live very close to you in real life.
Yes.
As soon as that bond of we're in the same, you know, art class online.
Yes.
As soon as that bond is broken, what is holding that together? Not to say that anyone is like shirking their relationship responsibility, but oftentimes relationships are circumstantial. And it's like the circumstance might be, you know, you're both in fodder school and you both really love it. And
yes.
So you develop like this thing where you're, you know, you're cheering each other on and you're commenting on each other's posts and it's
yes.
beautiful, but it's not like, you know, if you have to go to the hospital,
right.
That person is not going to go to the hospital.
No, they're not going to go to the hospital. They're not going to bring me food when I come home.
They're not going to make you a casserole.
No.
No. So again, just identifying things that you and I have clearly both thought about. This
yes.
is not the first time I've thought about that, of what is real about this.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. So a lot for people to think about. I hope that, we get some response and some discussion going.
That would be
about
great.
This.
I would love to hear what other people think too.
If people listen and they want to discuss these things, I always post the graphic for the podcast episode on Instagram, and then Marie, I'm sure you'll post it on your feed as well. And if people want to have back and forth conversations and talk about the thoughts, the crazy thoughts that you've had or the struggles that you've had with being prolific or feeling like you're not prolific enough. And again, even when I started this podcast, I should probably rename the podcast, but even the whole like idea of like show up or shut up, that like, I think at the time I really was in this place where I was like, I'm having so much fun making
yes.
art every day.
Yeah.
It's so easy for me to just show up and do this prolifically. And
yes.
I would hear that people were struggling to show up.
And yeah.
I was like, why are they struggling?
Yeah. What's so hard about showing up?
What's so hard about showing up? Just show up and make the art.
Do something, right?
Right. And now I'm like, oh, this is so interesting. I'm starting to have different, like, this is having its own life cycle. I'm starting to experience a different part of the life cycle with being so prolific, the part where being prolific gets harder. And,
yeah.
And questioning whether or not what I'm doing has value. Oh, so here's another thing.
Mm.
Someone in the Facebook group for fodder school started a discussion where she said, I'm struggling with the feeling of why am I creating what I am creating?
Yeah.
Like, what is the purpose of it?
Uh-huh.
And I think that we should touch upon that a little bit. I think that there's a strong argument to be made that the only purpose that it needs is if it makes you happy. And I think you could make that argument and you could support that argument. And I would never argue with that. And then the other thing for me, and I don't know if you experience this, is I do get a lot of enjoyment over making things that are functional as well as interesting to look at or beautiful or ugly. Call it, it doesn't really matter, but like basically
yeah.
functional art. So every single day I use a planner that is a full mixed media extravaganza that I created in a workshop. And I have a traveler's notebook that I glue fodder into and keep all of my grocery lists and my morning pages. So do you make any art that is also, you said the Hibonacci was very functional.
Well, I used it multi-purpose because in the front of the Hobonichi is a weekly planner. And so I used that for my work to record my appointments and phone calls and things. But then the back of the planner was, yeah, I mean, I was tracking my meals at the time. I was like trying to pay attention to my calorie intake, you know, and all of that, and my gratitude list and stuff like that. And just to, you know, I have my meals are great. So it's kind of just even if what my day was, you know, if I want to look back, interesting to things that happen, remember.
So do you have any other practices that involve both art and functional things?
I mean, I do the this and I just decorate them with stickers. Just using my stickers because I love stickers.
Do you ever give anything as gifts or make cards or
I make cards. I mean, that image that you used for this podcast was a card that I had given my boyfriend. So I do make cards, but
What do you do with all of the things that you create, all of the books that you make and all of the art journal pages that happen? What do you do with it all?
That's the issue is, I mean, I have the journals. I mean, a lot of them aren't even finished or started. So, I know. I think I do just like to play, and I don't necessarily feel like, I mean, you know what? I mean, I'm hoping in fodder school, to tell you the truth, hint, hint, that I mean, and I think that's what you're up to is, okay, I mean, I love to make the fodder and I love to make collages, but now what?
Right. Now what is the big question? Yes, in fodder school, you are definitely going to make wall art and functional items and books and things that are finished projects. Everything ultimately will result in a functional finished product.
So that's really what I'm looking for in the fodder school because I do have a lot of collages and things. I mean, some of them are in my journals, but a lot of them aren't. And so I don't know. I'm not, I don't, I don't really
have
a lot.
Well, it sounds like you're very comfortable with what I'm also comfortable with, which is you don't really need a reason other than that hour that you spent or that 10 minutes or that 3 hours that you spent was time filling up your own cup.
Yes, you know, I can't quote her, but I mean, I know one of the things that Brené Brown talks about is around creativity and how important that is for us and how important it is to sort of counteract that, you know, work ethic society that we have, which kind of makes me think that's why we're only allowed one art growing up or one thing. We can only do dance or we can only do art or we can only do choir or we can only, because we're a work, you know, Puritan work ethic society. So, you know, and, you know, she talks about research with that. If you're only working, then you are really susceptible to depression and anxiety and substance abuse and all those things. Because we need to play. We need an outlet. We need creativity.
So there you have it. We need it, but we don't want it to turn into that feeling like this has become another obligation. This has become this strain. That's my goal. My goal is to hold on to all of the good stuff and find a way to balance out the downside of it.
Right. The yin and the yang of Instagram and art.
Yin and the yang. Well, I really, really, really appreciate you coming on, Marie. It's just been so fun to talk to you.
I know.
In real life and hear your voice. And
you too.
Is there anything else that you want to say before we say goodbye for today?
No, I just am really, really grateful. You know, I mean, I was nervous as all get out, but, you know, I knew it was you. And I know that you're a very gracious host. And, you know, so I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to ask you
for a while now.
So it was fun. It was really good. It was very comfortable talking with you.
All right. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on and entertaining this very personal and deep and raw conversation about, you know, the darker sides of being prolific. And I hope that people got a lot out of it. And onward, all we can do is just do our best every day.
Yes. Okay. Well, great. All right. I'll see you around.
All right. Bye, Marie.
Okay. Bye, Wendy.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Show Up or Shut Up. If you've made some art or craft while you listened, take a photo of it, post it to Instagram, and tag me at willa.wanders so we can see what you are up to. And if you feel like what we've talked about here spoke to you, press that subscribe button so that you're the first to know about all of the new Show Up or Shut Up episodes. Have a wonderful day and go make something.